Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Yeah, so my name's Cam Lewis. I'm from Grand Bay, Alabama, which is a little town right outside of Mobile. And Alan is my friend. I love him. And we're at Al Spirits and Music. And this is closed on Sundays. And I'm going to sing y'all some songs that I wrote. And hopefully you like them. Yeah. This is a new one I wrote and it doesn't have a name yet, so here we go.
Just down the road from here they speak in tongues. Just down the road from here they light the bulb. And I'm just looking for my happy medium. It's just down the road from here they speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. I know how to diagnose most mechanical things. And if I can't, my brother can, and we both look the same. I try not to do things to embarrass my family. I know how to diagnose most mechanical things. Mechanical things, mechanical things, mechanical things. To be an uncommon man, 'cause I can't run and I can't jump like the uncommon can. I show up to work on time and that's harder than you think, 'cause I like skills that are necessary to be an uncommon man. Uncommon man. And I ain't proud of that. And I've lost sleep over politics. And I ain't proud of that. And I've lost sleep over politics. And I ain't proud of that. Speak in tongues. Just down the road from here they light the bulb. And I'm just looking for my happy medium. Just down the road from here they speak in tongues.
Yeah, so that's a new one and it don't have a name, so maybe we'll figure something out after today. But I mean, yeah, we were driving, me and Cassie were just driving down the road and past the church, and I was like, yeah, they speak in tongues at that church. And then directly across the street from the church was a house, and I was like, and they light the bulb at that house. And I know because I know the people that live there. So it just kind of stemmed from that. But I'm hoping over time that I'll just keep adding verses, and I'll have like a 30-minute jam session type song. So anytime something kind of like pisses me off or just gets on my nerves or something that's on my mind, I'm just going to add like just more and more stuff. And maybe one day it'll just be like a 30-minute song that, you know, me and a band just jam out to.
Easy enough.
Easy enough. They got chairs lined up at Callahan's, and it's just a front row, right? The front row's from me to Cassie from you at Callahan's. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Callahan's they have the sign that says this show's being recorded. Like when it's a listening room environment, like it's a listening room. So Abe gets up there, starts playing his first song. There's a guy on the front row that's like, you know, like sitting there talking to the lady beside him, like kind of. Abe just like, hey dude, look at the sign on the wall. He's like, you might not like my songs, you might think they suck. He said, I think most of my stuff sucks. He's like, well, people paid money to come to the show, so you see this right here, and it's like a little bitty camera set up on a mic stand that somebody's, mm-hmm. And Abe's like, that's what they call a recording device. He's like, read the sign on the wall.
We didn't want you on the recording, by right. the way.
Yeah, and the guy's like, and I suffer from secondhand embarrassment so bad. I'm like in the back doing like this, trying to sneak out, you know. And I turn around and JT owns Callahan's, and I turn around and JT's like, whoa, you know.
Oh, like this is about as big of a crowd as we've had for these. And but like July 13th, I have Sarah Lee Langford coming out of Birmingham, mm-hmm. and she's going to be our first live one. So it'll be just this. It'll be a recorded set, like. Intimate like this,
yeah.
And then after that, we're gonna open up the doors, and it's BYOC, bring your own chair. And I'm gonna have Swamp Daddies. They cater. They're gonna come over and cook, and we're just gonna have a Sunday service.
Yeah. Is that what day you're gonna do it on? Is you actually gonna do it on Sundays?
It's easiest for me. This store cannot operate on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I think like with the building and just how cool everything is, and like when you're playing down the barrel like that,
yeah,
you don't need anything,
right? And you just do it acoustic right there. I think it's a great idea. I think it's cool, man.
And
I think that's worth. I think there's enough people, especially like, and I don't know this area that well, but like Columbus, I think there's 20 people that are willing to pay $20 to come in here and bring a chair, eat some food, and listen to some music.
Yeah,
you know that's like Callahan's. They do their shows. Sunday night shows are their best shows. It is crazy, but like they I've heard numerous artists say this, like never miss a Sunday night show. Mm-hmm. Never miss a Sunday night, and the best bands and
you
stuff
know, that's,
come through
that's
their
where
Sunday
you're
nights.
Gonna hear Gabe Lee, you know?
Yeah. That was a Sunday night show. I seen
I got somebody.
Yeah.
Yes, it's fine. We'll cut.
What was it he pulled up right there?
There's somebody right here too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man, don't let us stop while
business. Yeah, here
don't let us hinder. Don't let us hinder your business.
Yeah,
that's.
Cassie, do we have a.
Come over there.
What's going on?
Man, not much. How about y'all?
All
how
right.
Doing? How good? Oh, so we singing today.
We
man, let's wrap up.
Our next
closed on Sunday. Yeah, but business is open. And I'll tell y'all that July 13th, it's a Sunday, it'll be our first live show, and like, please come.
You want it?
What are you guys going to do?
It's going to be Sarah Lee Langford out of Birmingham, and she's going to come in. I'm going to probably get Swamp Daddies to come over from Gordon.
Okay.
Cater and feed everybody. It'll be $20, you get dinner and a show.
Holy cow, that's a good deal.
Yep.
Very good deal. And the acoustics in this place are
really
dude.
I mean, you hear people talking. This is cool.
Immediately, as soon as you started playing, I was like, oh, that sounds special. That's different than normal.
Yeah. If you don't know that.
Which is interesting. So you're blocking low ceiling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be because of that almost creates like an echo where it, push, mm-hmm. where it pushes it forward. Because he was set up in this mm-hmm. room. And so you've got that extra back there, and I think it just kind of pushes everything
right.
forward.
You
have a good one. Man,
I'm
going to try. You started off with
good. Right. I ain't got to work today.
That's right.
Sorry.
Take your time, man.
Y'all be good.
So what time are you normally up?
10 o'clock.
I thought that was 10.
14:29. But hey, if we're here, we'll rock and roll. Yeah. That's what I call good customers.
Alan, how long has that cardboard cutout been in the store?
It came with the store, and that John Wayne cutout, that was part of, they don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
But there was a John Wayne whiskey.
Oh, really? And that's how
that... And that was part of the marketing and okay. the everything with that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's super cool.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man.
I really hope you're very successful.
Cool.
I appreciate your
support. Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Was a time of a cottonwood tree.
Yeah. Welcome you.
Yeah. See, that could be part of your show.
We get John.
That was very sweet.
Yeah.
Alan, go stand beside him, dude. Let me see if I can talk.
I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I watched the whole Charlie Crockett. We just got on a kick the other night. I watched it. Tyler Childers played a set at a brewery in Kentucky. Right up, but it was like, it's just like a real recent set his band played. And dude, it was so good. So we watched that whole, it was like an hour and a half set. And then Charlie Crockett at the Ryman come on next, you know, and it like, the curtains go back. And it's like Charlie Crockett, he's got his guitar like.
Oh yeah.
And he like starts.
He plays it at his titty.
Yeah, he plays it like up here, you know, and he starts doing the Dwight Yoakam like knee thing. And it was, I'm of the cottonwood trees.
Which, I mean, Brandon Coleman does it too.
Did you see their CMA where they just, they played, they killed it.
I follow, and you know, they do come to Starkville. They'll play at Rick's about once a year. And yeah. Man, just so happy for those guys. Cause,
oh my gosh.
My introduction was you. I remember it was just like a month before I left Mobile. I was still living in just outside of the bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And you called me and you said, dude, if you ain't doing anything, you need to go down to Doherty's.
Yeah.
Down on the island and catch these young guys, Red Clay Strays. He said, you won't be disappointed. He said, they ain't going to be around like this for long. You ain't going to be able to see a show like this for long. For free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And caught it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's weird to see. Like that level of success, like you see, you know, I played with musicians that have success, like in the sense to where they get to travel around and play music and do cool stuff, but like that level of success, like playing CMA Fest, like Nissan Stadium, Red Rocks numerous times, like mm-hmm. Australia, I think they were in New Zealand, Hawaii, like they were all over Europe, I mean, and selling out everything. Everything. And I got some friends that from like the Mobile and surrounding areas that followed them to every one of those shows. Flew to Australia. Yeah. Rob.
Yeah.
I think I know Rob was one of them. Him and his wife Amber, they followed them all over Europe. Then they followed them to Hawaii. Then Australia.
They did Canada too. I seen them in
Yeah,
Canada.
They did do Canada.
Right. Canada. Yeah. I saw that picture.
It's a story like theirs, and granted, I would say over the past 10, 15 years, just in the state of Alabama, and it's always crazy to me, like, when you think about Alabama, Mississippi, I always think that Mississippi does a better job, like, with the arts and, like, putting up artists, and it makes sense because, like, per capita, if the state of Mississippi, if you were to just ask anybody on the street, like, who are you and what do you do? Per capita, more people in the state of Mississippi will say, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have Elvis, you have the blues, you got the Delta, you got
it's the rich country. History. It's the rich history that plays a giant part of that.
And you get over here to Alabama, and, I mean, we have these pockets. You have North Alabama with Shoals and Florence and Huntsville. Mm-hmm. Then you have Central, Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. Then you have South with Mobile. Or I would even clump, like, Opelika and Auburn in that area. But, like, the amount of success when it comes to a national, international stage, like, I'm very proud to be an Alabamian because you have people like the Alabama Shakes, St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Drive-By Truckers.
Drive-By Truckers. Jason Isbell.
Wet Willie. I mean, you can go on.
On Reclay Street. Yeah. Abe. I mean, and the thing that's crazy to me of just, like, seeing those guys so early on the island at Doherty's.
Yeah.
And then, like, seeing it now, it's like it makes somebody like me, like, who I feel like I've kind of found my place with just being a supporter of music and just doing what I can for it. But it also lets me know that you can be from Alabama and you can make something of yourself.
Yeah, you can be from a little small town. You know, you can't, and you really can. Like, so I had, growing up, my good friend, his mom married Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down, so I got to see, like, firsthand, you know, these people from South Mississippi and South Alabama become the biggest rock band in the world, you know. And the cool part, I got to hear their Away From the Sun album. I got to hear it when I was fifth and sixth grade, like, being produced, like, before it ever hit the, and having no idea, like, just getting to be around and having no idea what was to come, that 20 years later, 25 years later, that would still be one of the, like, everybody knows every song on that album. But, like, these people from, like, who knows where Goshen, Mississippi's at? You know?
Nobody.
Who know? You know? And it's just
outside of Pascagoula.
Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, you say Reform Alabama or Amory, Mississippi. You have to tell people, technically, I'm from, you know where Tuscaloosa's at?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, whenever we would go on vacation, whether it was the mountain or the beach, and you're just socializing a little bit, maybe it's in a bar scene, or maybe you're just standing in line waiting to get on the roller coaster. Whenever it was geographical oddities, it's like, we're from Tuscaloosa. You've heard of that.
Yeah.
You know the university.
Everything around here is a geographical oddity. So it's like,
2 weeks from everything.
Two weeks, everything around here is a geographical oddity. That's the greatest movie.
Such a great movie.
It's the greatest movie ever made, in my opinion. Yeah, I love it. I'm just a Dapper Dan man.
And just to this store, dude, I had a, bless her heart, but she's, the whole community is, what, she's been sleeping in the park. And she's bad off on drugs. And she'll come in here, and it was like a stray cat situation. I probably shouldn't have fed her. Gave her water. And now she won't quit coming, but
it's not like funny.
The first night, you know, I just gave her a plate, like, in that we got half booze and then half food in there, and like we typically cook hot dogs, free hot dogs, and I'll go get watermelons and we'll cut up watermelons. Just community,
yeah,
right.
And but I just give her a plate of food and a bottle of water, and I said, "Well, what's your name?" I have no name. I said, "Well, family? I have no family." I said, "Well, you got to have a friend." I have no friends.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, that's the problem of employment.
I have no friends. Dude, that is amazing.
And that's the opening scene in the movie. I mean, that's the blind gaffer, like... Yeah. You will see a cow on top of that house.
We were sitting at the house Thanksgiving a few years ago, and my sister-in-law and her fiance, I was like, we just got through eating, you know, and everybody, after you get through eating Thanksgiving lunch or whatever, you're like at the point where you need to sit down, take a nap, and then finish eating later. And I got on there, and I was like, oh, man, it'd be so good to watch our brother Art down there, like, never seen that. And I was like, sit down right now. You know, 2.5 hours later, I'm just sitting there dying, and they're just like,
I mean, just my hair. Or just,
I love that part. Everything around here is a 2 weeks out. It's a geographical oddity. My favorite part.
I don't want fop.
I'm a Dapper Dan man. One of my favorite.
I believe you did sell your soul to the devil.
One of my favorite parts of that whole movie is where they're up in the barn, and they're talking about how good that meat is, and that guy's like, I'm kind of surprised, because I slaughtered that horse 2 weeks ago, you know.
Starting to turn.
Yeah. And they're sitting there eating, so they're up in the barn later, and he looks out, and he's like, we in a tight spot. And they say something, and he repeats it like 5 times. He's like, dang, we in a tight spot. And then he says it like, I don't know why, that I just find that part of that movie.
Or even the kid, like, he was trying to tell them without telling the kid what happened to his mother.
Yeah.
She done R-U-N-N-O-F-T.
She done run off. Run off.
That's my... Get in, boys. We about the R-U-N-N-O-F-T.
That is one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie of all time. I love that when that guy says, you're not going to speak to my fiancé like that. And he goes, you can't marry my wife. Yeah. Both square up like that. That is a great...
Stay out of the Woolworths.
Stay out of Woolworths.
Yeah. And I don't know if they banned this from all of them or just that one.
Yeah. I love
Come
that.
Come on in, but what's the water's fine.
What's so crazy about that is like... And I was explaining to my family when we were watching, I'm like, this is Homer. I'm like...
Yeah, it's the Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm
that's
like...
That's Tucker said he was reading the Odyssey at school, and he was like, wait a minute. I said, yeah.
It's basic. But like, how creative and how good of a writer do you have to be...
It's the Southern Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's that, to like, it's to do all of that.
You
like
had,
it's
you
just,
had the sirens, you had the cyclops, the crooked Bible salesman.
Yeah.
I'm about to teach you. It's all about the money, boys. I don't get it, Big Dan.
You're about to.
I love that. But, like, how iconic so many things in that movie, like, ended up being. First of all, the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's amazing. I mean, so good.
The soundtrack's.
T-Bone Walker, I think, is the one that produced that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Dan Tomiski's obviously was amazing before that. Dan Tomiski's amazing now. But, Man of Constant Sorrow... That dude could do nothing for the rest of his life. From that movie on, could do nothing for the rest of his life and just get mailbox money.
Yeah.
Just from that. That have you ever seen? I know this probably just keeps going down a rabbit hole. But have you ever seen Inside Llewyn Davis?
I have not.
No.
Dude, it's about a folk singer, but the soundtrack to that was like written by like Mumford and Sons, Jason Isbell. Like, it is. I would highly recommend it, but it is like one of the best movies I've ever seen. But the soundtrack is, it's just absolutely amazing.
And that's one of those things, man, because like that was probably the first movie soundtrack CD I ever bought. Like I loved every, like,
yep.
And when it comes to movies like, hell, Tropic Thunder, like although it's a good comedy, which you don't really get nowadays.
You definitely cannot make Tropic Thunder now.
Yeah.
Never like, make Tropic Thunder.
But the thing
Thunder
that
now.
Made every, like, even if it's a Wes Anderson film, like, what makes a film memorable to me? Soundtrack.
Oh.
If it's got a good soundtrack, it's probably going to bang.
Dude, I'll give you the greatest soundtrack that's ever existed, ever.
Forrest Gump?
Tarzan. Phil Collins?
Yeah, he did do that, yeah.
Dude, have you ever seen the meme? It was like, hey, Phil... You know, we're doing a Disney cartoon. We just want you to write the soundtrack. And Phil Collins is like, hold my beer. Mm-hmm. And he just creates the greatest. I'm telling you, I promise, just take some time today. Just play the Tarzan soundtrack. And he wrote everything. I'm talking all the instruments, all the just, he composed, wrote the, it's just, these people are just on another, they're on another level of the way their brain works. And obviously they're a little bit different because I think they said, last I heard about Phil Collins was like, he don't take baths anymore, don't take showers anymore. I think his wife ended up leaving because I think she said it was just like getting to the point where it was
too much.
But this man's brain is like,
I mean, like, Brad Pitt's been that way forever, right? Like, his thing, and like, I don't know why I hop down these rabbit holes on social media, but next thing I know, I'm watching the five most disgusting actors in the world. And, you know, Brad Pitt and Pattinson, the guy from Twilight, which played a really great Batman.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But those two came up on the list, and they both did the same thing. And I was like, well, Brad Pitt, you're a very attractive guy. But he was like, I only wash my skin with baby wipes. And it kind of takes me back to that Dave Chappelle sketch. It's like, I need Cambodian breast milk. It's like, what a very bizarre thing. Yeah.
He was doing Diddy, and he was riding his bouncer. He was riding his bouncer.
Bad news. Studio closed 2 weeks.
But Dylon was fire, though.
Those people, fire. Those people like that, it's like, I'm trying to think. Okay, so when the whole Chris Rock and Will Smith situation happened,
mm-hmm.
okay, Will Smith, say what you want about him, you know, whatever about the little bit about his personal life that they blast out. The dude is a great actor and has played in some great films.
Independence Day.
Independence Day. I Am Sam is amazing. Pursuit of Happiness.
Men in Black.
Men in Black. But so he just got through, like literally was just finished making the film about being the dad of Serena and Venus Williams. And the whole film is about protecting his daughters. So like not pushing his daughters, but also protecting them from racism, bigotry, just all kind of stuff. And then he literally said in his speech when he ended up winning the award after slapping the piss out of Chris Rock, he ended up winning an award, and he said, life has a tendency to imitate art. And I'm like, nobody's taking that into consideration, that this dude literally for months on end had to play this character of protecting people that he cared about. So I get, like, and how do you just go flip the switch being normal dude to actor? Normal dude to actor. Normal. Obviously, there's something got to be to that. You know, something's got to be going on with that. Because, I mean, look at the rest of his family. They're all, you know, how do you become the father you're supposed to be or the husband you're supposed to be when you're, you know, like, look at, take Jim Carrey, for instance, when he played that comedian. I don't know why I'm
Andy Kaufman.
When he played Andy Kaufman, like, dude, he lost so many friends and like pissed so many people off because once he went into character, he did not come out of character until the movie was done.
Yep.
Like in the dressing rooms, walking around in his personal life, like the director would try to talk to him and stuff, and he would like
refer to me as
like he played the character so much. And like, but he done a fantastic job playing the character and everybody loves it on the screen, but like the person you have to deal with, you know, it's just like these great musicians and these great, you know, I see some of them come through Callahan's and stuff, and you try to talk to them and have like a normal conversation. Some of them just can't. It's like their brain doesn't operate like that.
I mean, that amount of talent and art at that level have a cost.
They see the world in a totally different set of, they see the world, you know, like, and I didn't even get a chance to talk to him, and it's probably my fault just because I was intimidated by the guy, but like John Moreland come to Callahan's. Okay, if you've ever seen John Moreland just in pictures, he's intimidating just looking at him. But in person, he is a giant man.
Like, yes.
He's a giant man. Barbed wire tattoos across his head, just like face tattooed up and stuff. But writes the saddest folk songs that you could, folk Americana songs you could ever listen to. So I get JT was telling me, look, dude, show up.
High on Tulsa Heat, if you've never listened to John Moreland, like, it's probably still my favorite album of his.
Really? Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. So I get to Callahan's.
And what's crazy, I found him because of things like this. Like, that's why I'm so thankful for Western AF, NPR Tiny Desk.
Like, NPR Tiny Desk. Right. Did you watch Juveniles?
Yes.
How good was that? That was awesome, wasn't it? Like, that was so cool. Anyway, I could just keep going. But I get to Callahan's, and he's doing a sound check. This is like an hour and a half before the show. He's doing a sound check. Nobody in there but him and his wife. And I think it's his wife, fiance, girlfriend, whatever. And when he gets through doing a sound check, he goes and just like sits in a chair. There's nobody in there. Sits here like this. And I'm like, should I disturb this man's pee? And I'm like, you know what? Nope. I'm just going to let this guy be, because you can just see like he's just probably his wheels are just kind of like, you know, just thinking of song. Like, what is that interview we watched with Jason Isbell? And his mom said, anytime we're at like a family gathering, I tell the family this, if like, don't say nothing around him that you don't want in a song. Like, be careful what you say, because you will end up being like being in a song. Like, there's a local coffee shop. Johnny Gaston just opened a coffee shop. Just at the storefront just opened. And there's a guy that sits in there every day, and he's a writer, self-proclaimed writer or whatever. And, you know, there's some interesting, just like small rural America, there's some interesting people that come in and out of business, isn't it? And Cassie was like, I wonder how many people are going to end up being in this guy's book. Because he sits in that coffee shop, and like the other day
there's so many interesting situations.
Yeah, it's just like the other day we're sitting there waiting on a coffee, and this guy's like, and them Democrats! Yeah. You know, and he's just like going off. But he's saying it that loud, and other people are just like, dude, we just want to buy coffee. Yeah. He's like, please. And he's like, and Donald Trump.
And the tide ain't been the same since Saban.
And that Kaylan DeBoer down there in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Them boys ain't got no discipline on them boys.
Ain't got no fire. Yeah.
He ain't got no discipline on them boys. You see the way them boys acting?
Have you seen that fella? There's an old, it's old video.
Roadside Willie?
Huh?
Is it Roadside Willie?
No,
don't
not
give
Roll
a piss about that. That's probably going to copyright it. I don't know. Finish it.
He was on camera on the news station, and they just happened to catch him, and he just starts going off. And he's got like, I don't know, it's probably about 10 minutes, and he's just telling everybody about, he says, it's this chauvinist attitude. It's this chauvinist attitude that you can't get out on the street and just walk it. If you'll just walk a man's shoes for a while, you walk down there to Carrollton for 2 hours, you won't have that chauvinist attitude. You'll be dragging that ass.
Have you seen the one where the... She's like, it's supposed to be a video where the guy's supposed to be showing off his car, but he's a retired Marine, and he's in, like, his full uniform. Mm-hmm. And it's this older black guy, and he's like, this right here is my car. And let me tell you something. All you young men walking with your pants down, pull your GD pants up. Dude, he goes on like a, he's supposed to be, like, showing off his car, and he's like,
switch.
Yeah, he's like, this is my Camaro. And let me tell you something.
Somebody walked by.
Yeah, he's like, all you young man with
bothered.
Your, yeah, all you young man with your pants down, right, pull your pants up. You know, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Is that video where the, have you seen the video where there's, like, a news anchor, and this guy walks by? It looks like 1990, just south. He's smoking a cigarette, you know, got the gray hair, got the long sideburns. He's like, it ain't but 10 miles. And the guy's like, what? And he's like, why don't you just walk on down there? It ain't but 10 miles. And the guy's like, all right. And he's like, well, let's go. It ain't but 10 miles down to camp. And just smoking that cigarette, you know. And it's amazing.
Come on in there, Trey. This is my brother.
Trey, what's up, baby? Okay, I'm nice to meet you, bro.
Hey, Trey.
Grab me a seat. Get in over here.
Yeah, he's my team up. Camp. Oh God, I love it.
And he's standing up.
I always love it. Like the video. Like there was a kid at the fireworks stand, and he said, "What's your favorite firework?" He said, "Wouldn't you want to know, dude, boy?" I was like, "What are you doing?"
Perfect interview.
There's so many. Have you seen the one with the news anchor? He's the black guy, he's all dressed up, he's out there in the country, yeah. And he's like, today on Channel 7, and a bug flies in his mouth, he's like, God, man, in this country, mother, man, get me out of this country, mother. He just like goes all, oh my gosh, dude, that's the greatest video ever.
He turned into his real self.
Oh yeah, today on Channel 7, man, get me out of this country.
All professionalism is gone.
Oh yeah, it's like, completely.
Anytime we go on the news, like it was... Munson, he had Russell go on the news with him, and they were dressed. Munson went as the dude,
yeah.
And then
oh, wow.
Russell kind of looked like the guy, like with yeah. I'm gonna shoot him.
Yeah.
And they went on the news like that, and when we're being interviewed, like yeah. It's a morning show, and like the news people didn't get it, and then after that was like. Wait, this is Big Lebowski. And they were like, we've been waiting on you.
I'm not going
to. He even took the glass. He had a white Russian. Like, he had a glass of milk.
With the robe and everything. Yeah. That is one of the great. Talking about movies, dude. That is one of the greatest. Like, who writes that? That movie doesn't even have, like, there's really, like, no point to it. It's like, get the money to the, you know, for ransom for the girl. But then, like, what's his name? Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
And then the guy who plays the one-eyed Cyclops and the Bible salesman.
Big Dan T.
Yeah, Big Dan T.
John Goodman.
Like,
John Goodman, yeah.
And then Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Danny, he's always talking like, shut the hell up, Danny.
I always think of him as Crazy Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
I think he was trying to cast a spell on me. Maybe he might have just been waving.
Yeah, he said, I think he might have been just casting a spell on me. And he's like, you sure he wasn't waving? Ah. Yeah. That's in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a part of Mr. Deeds where, he's always got the same guys. Because my favorite film with all them guys in it is where they play the video games. It's made like in the 90s.
Grandma's Boy?
Grandma's Boy.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Grandma's Boy is one of my most favorite.
Oh, Nick Swardson?
Yes, with Nick Swardson in it. It's like all the same people.
Well, and then, so that guy's actually the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
Yep, that guy's. Yeah. Yeah, he works at the pizza shop in Mr. D's, and he's like,
okay.
Yeah, and
I thought you were sick.
I'm gonna have to hear that.
I can come into work today.
Yeah. I thought you were sick. Oh yeah, let me hear it. Hey Deedsy, couldn't come into work today. He's like, that's a good one.
But like that whole getup was like, he's a Hallmark card writer. That's all he wanted to be.
From that. And you got to think, every Sandler movie, people knock Sandler movies, and some of them, but dude, like Mr. Deeds, Big Daddy.
That was that whole trio right there.
That's the whole.
And then before that, you had Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison. Yep.
Dude, those movies are great.
They all have heart in them. Whether you like them or you don't.
And you see it come back. Like, just take Billy Madison. O'Doyle rules. O'Doyle family name lives throughout his films.
Yeah, lives throughout his films.
I didn't realize
that. One of the greatest ones ever.
That Veronica Vaughn is something. I know from experience. Yeah. No, you don't. Yeah.
Well, I got a friend.
No, you don't. But you could imagine if I did.
I love the part where he's driving the school bus and the kids are acting like stupid and bad. He's just... He's like turning red.
What if I pulled the bus over? Then you wouldn't be on your little field trip.
And he eats all the kids' lunches.
And Billy's friends, his
yeah, Norm McDonald's one.
Norm McDonald and I can't. Remember
I don't know the other guy. Yeah.
They show up and they just show up randomly and eat with him.
Yeah. Or the one where, you know, the whole film that Veronica Vaughn's teasing, like every time he gets an answer right, she takes Peter Clinton. And then the one where
Chris Farley.
He finally gets it off and Chris Farley takes his shirt off and he's like,
like that. Been waiting on you.
My favorite line, I think, is from the lady that's actually doing the tour. And she said,
"You're pissing your pants is cool.
Call me Miles Davis."
Oh, gosh. I used to love it when I'd watch Billy Madison when I was younger. And Nudie Magazine Day. And then he goes to the mailbox on the golf cart, and he runs over all the flowers that the gardener's working on, and he looks up, and he's like, is it a penguin?
It's a penguin.
Yeah, it's a penguin. Like, who thinks of that?
I still do that skit, too. Like, especially in the summer in Alabama, we'll be out in the field working at my job over in Starkville, and I'll... It's too dang hot out here for a penguin. I gotta get you back to the North Pole.
Oh, God. I still do the one, too, from 50 First Dates, where, like, every time we go somewhere where there's water, I'm like, you kids, what is it? God, what does he say? You kids don't know how to do any flippies off the pier? Let the master show you how to get it done. And he does the flip, and he comes up and he goes,
Rob Snyder.
Now you kids go down and fight my nuts. That's the greatest. Or the dude... The dude that plays in all the Lord of the Rings films, but he plays in 50 First Dates as Drew Barrymore's brother, and he's always wearing
Sean Astin.
He's always wearing the shirt like the old football jerseys used to get back in the day, the practice jerseys with the holes. And she's at the doctor, and he's like, I got a friend who's been experimenting with some steroids, and he's been having a lot of wet dreams lately. And he goes, what did he say? Get you a shirt with no holes in it, lay off steroids, buddy. Or something. Like, that is like, I don't know, just somebody had to think of that out of thin air, write that down, and then like bring that to life. These people are just, and as a somebody who's a self-proclaimed likes to write a little bit, like I can't wrap my head around how these people just come up with that. Like
it probably happened in real life, and they were making fun of their friends.
Yeah, that probably that's very true.
Probably a lot too.
Yeah, we
very
were
similar to that.
We were in a bookstore in Columbus yesterday. Which she reads like 1,000 books a year, and I don't know if that's even an exaggeration. It's probably 1,000 books a year, but like I try to read, and then I go down, the rabbit hole. I'm trying to read a book, and all of a sudden I'm watching a video of like most watched cop moments from 1998 or something. You know? Uh-huh. And but I just, anytime I've ever like read, I've written a song after, even though the song has not. It just puts you in like a creative space, like, you know, just. And that's why you hear about these, like, going back to these actors and stuff, like Heath Ledger killing himself after playing the Joker. But
the role overtook him.
These people don't. Okay, first of all, they're blessed with looks, and they're, you know, they have certain intangibles. But then they just have, they take it to like the next level, and they just immerse themselves. I mean, every role that dude ever played before he played, you know, what is it, 10 Things I Hate About You, which is like a rom com or whatever, but it's still just a great film.
Another, you know, rom com, Knight's Tale.
Oh yeah. Knight's Tale, I thought, was awesome.
And that movie is like, and you go back and look at that cast, I mean, he's no longer with us, but everybody from that cast is still killing it. Yeah. You know?
Knight's Tale is
a star studded
cast.
It is
an underrated movie. We were talking about films the other day, because I love movies. I absolutely love movies. But it's a movie called Running Scared with Paul Walker. I saw it for the first time when we were about, what, 18?
I swear, every Paul Walker movie in it, it's going to have a fast car. You ever notice that?
It is something. It's something about it. He just looks like a guy who drives a fast car. Well, obviously. But, yeah, we watched that movie when I was, like, 18 years old, and I was like, my life will never be the same. I was like, I didn't even know they made movies like this. It was, because you think Paul Walker, you know, you're like, I mean, come on, he's typecast. And Running Scared, it is like trippy. And then, of course, yesterday before we go play a show last night, like, I have to, when I go play a show, I have to get in the mindset, you know, like, to entertain, to try to do well. It's just weird. You know how it is. You have to get, well, what do we watch before we go play the show? The original It.
Yes. Yeah, I don't ask a lot of you.
Yeah. So I was sitting in the hotel just watching like the original It. And at first I'm laughing at it because I'm like, the graphics and stuff are so bad. But then I'm like, man, this is,
and then I was kind of
twisted.
Explaining the book a little bit.
I'm like,
bit.
This is twisted. So then I'm like, then I got to get up there and sing, Greta Maid is in the sun. And I'm like sitting there thinking about a balloon popping in their face with blood and stuff. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Stephen King, hell of a writer. But like, just to have it here on the record. And I mean, Cassie, you can probably go with this too. I mean, you probably heard me say it, but within our open mic and within like our songwriting circle and just the musicians, we got a great stable that come out, and like, I really love our scene, but like, it's a cyclical circle, and it's like, if you feel like you're overthinking, read. If you're underthinking, write.
Yeah.
All right, I might have mixed it backwards, but it's like, you should always either be in the process of writing, or you should be reading what somebody else has done.
Right.
Yeah. Like, stay on task.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
If you want to be a great writer, you should read a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's helped me. I don't do well with like writing on on my phone or on my laptop or anything like that. I have an actual book, like a little leatherback book that I write in, where I went through this spell for like a month. And within that month, I wrote all the songs you hear me playing pretty much now. I mean, not all of them, but a handful of them. But
you were
like
also reading 1984.
Yeah, I was reading.
George Orwell. I had put 1984 down. It got too real.
Yeah,
he didn't finish it.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I'm like, whoa, what? I'm like, this is happening now. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm watching a fishing video on YouTube. I'm not doing it.
Tennessee Jet.
Yeah,
Tennessee Jet.
Two plus two
is five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah, we were sitting there, you know, politics are so, what's the term? Politics are polarizing. And everybody at politics always get brought up, and they probably there's some spaces they definitely shouldn't. But I'm like, we have a tendency to not criticize. If you voted one way, they're right. No, it doesn't matter. They're right. No, mm-hmm. We voted for them. That's like, we're Republican. Everything they're doing is 100% correct. The Democrats are idiots. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I'm a Democrat. Everything
they
do. What
are you, a libtard?
Yeah. Everything. What are you, a blue-haired liberal? You a liberal? You know, but I'm like, we better all, like, take a step back and, like, start trying to get on board together and holding these people accountable, regardless if they're Democrat or Republican. Because at the end of the day, what I'm really starting to figure out is some of these folks don't really give a crap about me or you, and they're just, they're looking out for special interest, and the, and just like the rich are getting richer and richer and richer, and the middle class is starting to do this.
The gap's widening.
It's getting further and further away from each other, and the further they get away from each other, the closer you get to socialism, then communism, and then what? You know, and they're sitting there, we're sitting there talking about it at work, and I'm like, I've got to, like, stop thinking about all this stuff, because I had to put 1984 down. I even saw it in the bookstore yesterday, and I saw it, and I seen the cover, and I'm like, don't look. I'm like, don't
look.
Well,
the beautiful thing is that no matter what happens, there's one person that's in charge of all of this.
Yeah.
As long as you place your heart in his hands, you're going to be okay.
That's very
true. It makes life a lot easier to go through, and the news cycle is a lot, it's a lot more numb at that moment.
Yeah, we were eating breakfast at the hotel this morning, and the TV right here was on MSNBC, and the TV behind me was on Fox. I'm like, yeah. What the hell? What?
And there you
what?
Are.
What? What?
By the way, I think the name of that song should be Happy Happy Medium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because then you can write. Because all the stuff that you makes you mad. It's you trying to find that happy.
I'm gonna add some more verses to it. I plan on it being like an hour long song one day. It's like jamming like a Grateful Dead show. Just
that'd be really dope.
It's jamming for like a straight hour.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, dude, just back to you just for a second. Mobile does a really great thing. I almost feel like the Golden Triangle, they do awards for businesses and, like, just to recognize the community. And I know a nappy wouldn't mean anything to you, but you were put up for a nappy this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I respect the post. And, like, when I share your music or tell people about you, I never say he's a country singer. I say he's a songwriter. Like, I can't put Cam in a box. You know, it's like, do you like Tyler Childers? Do you like that kind of, you'll probably like him,
right?
You know? But, man, great support in Mobile.
Yeah.
It keeps rising.
Yeah. When I posted it, I didn't want to come off as, like, being pretentious or, like I even said, being some kind of outlaw, because people do that bull crap, you know, try to be outlaws or whatever. I don't know. I could go off on a long thing about that. But, yeah, I got voted for best country artist or best country band. And there's a lot of good country bands in Mobile. I mean, like, and it's nothing against them, and it's nothing against the Nappies or the Lanyap. I think it's super cool. And I know businesses really shoot for it, especially because they get the banner. They can hang it up in their business. They can advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and if they called me tomorrow and said, Cam, you won this little award, I'd be like, thank you very much. That's incredible. I'm so grateful. But from what I hear that is labeled as country music, I want no part in any of it, to be honest with you. Like, but that's mainstream stuff. I don't know anything about the industry. I don't know anything. I'm just a redneck from Grand Bay. I don't know anything about what goes into that, but you know as well as I do that a lot of this stuff, there's the reason country music is a lot different than what it used to be is because the people singing this stuff, they have no idea what it's like to actually work a job or to do. Country's not just going out necessarily and killing a deer and taking a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's an entire lifestyle, and these people that used to sing this kind of stuff, they either were raised that way, and now it just doesn't seem like that in my eyes. Nothing against, I hope these people that are singing these songs go make millions of dollars and live the rest of their life and have a fantastic time. And whatever, I'm just, my point of it was, I don't want to be stuck in a box. You know, I don't want to be labeled as, because venues do ask, well, what kind of music do you sing, or what kind of genre? And I'm like, I can send you some songs, but like, and that's what that is the cool thing about being a songwriter is some of these events I've played at, it's like you get on stage and this person might write, you know, just something totally different than you. But it's not like here's the country songwriter, here's the pop songwriter, you get to make that decision on what you want to, like take Drew Young, for instance. Drew, from talking to him, Drew was in a punk rock band in Athens, Georgia in like the 70s.
He was.
Now,
during Blue Mountain days.
Yeah.
Right before Drive By Truckers.
Yeah. So like Drive By Truckers, what would you label them as?
I couldn't.
But they're amazing. like Lucero.
I couldn't classify that either.
Wilco.
It's almost like Band of Horses to me.
Yeah.
Like you would say, it's indie rock. Well, no, like I've seen them live over 10 times, and I walked with Ben and the members of Band of Horses through like each phase of their life. They outran me a little bit because they're fathers and husbands now.
Yeah.
But like back when they were road dogs and just doing whatever, like I was walking that line with them and like drive by truckers. I mean, that's another Lucero. Like it's so great to like just come up with these songwriters and be like, I relate to, I know exactly what you're doing.
That's storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I want to be, that's what I want to be labeled as. I think Southern people, what does Jason Isbell say in Outfit? Southern men tell better jokes. Don't speak with a fake British accent because Southern men tell better jokes. I want to be known as a storyteller, just like my grandfather was, just like most people that you know that live in the South, the funniest people you know, like, can sit around and tell us, like, they see something happen and can tell that story and make, like, you know, just like you told the story about the lady coming in here. Like, that is...
Tabby.
That is so, like, that is so...
Her name is Tabby. Her stray cat name is Tabby.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a song right there. But yeah, my point of that post was, as I thought about doing, and last year I think I got put up for the same, man, look, at this point in my life, I'm about to be 30, I don't know, I think I'm 36 years old, yeah, 36. Getting an award from the Nappies would be so cool for my family, for my kids. But other than that, like, I've been doing this thing now where I make these little posters myself, and I get these posters made, and I'll bring them to certain, I only do it at a couple, like, certain shows. I don't do it all the time. But I bring it to a show, and I ask all the people that attend my show to sign it. It has nothing to do, like, I don't sell it to the people. They're already there supporting me. If they buy my merch or whatever, that's really, that helps a lot. But I ask them to sign it, and then we take it home, and we hang it in our house. Because, like, that means something to me. So one day, when I'm dead and gone, like, whenever they're cleaning, people are cleaning, my kids, grandkids are cleaning out our house, whatever, and they find this, oh, Cam Lewis at Callahan's Irish Social Club, you know, whatever, blah, blah. Look at the 60 signatures that are on there. And it's people like that, and I found that the people that sign it, like, they think that's like the coolest thing ever, you know?
I did that with Porch Fest, like, every year, like, even when we first did it at the house, everybody that played it or just anybody that had a hand in it, put your name on that. And, like, we are going to display it here. And, I mean, that's something that I'm still a brother. I still love Munson Brothers. I still love the city of Columbus. But I've already began talking about this is where I'm from.
Yeah,
right.
And I've already talked to the mayor and the city council. It's like, I think that my Porch Fest could turn this little town upside down.
Mm-hmm. Dude, we were just driving through here and we seen y'all's little town square. Mm-hmm. Like, I've only been to Reform one time before this, and I was working on a pipeline in Reform, you know, shooting X-ray on a pipeline, and didn't know nothing about, you know nothing about Reform, but I think that towns need people like you that are willing to invest in its community. Dude, communities have gone by the wayside. That's We're speaking of politics now, polarizing they are. Where it all boils down to, it starts in your home. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it's a trickle down effect. You know, if you believe a certain way, raise your kids up, and maybe that kid one day will be the one running for president that had family values instilled in them, you know, and was taught about their community. Like, you remember growing up, you used to, when you played baseball or you played football, whatever, you played in your town with your cousins, with your friends.
And you had a small business on your shirt.
And you had a small, I remember playing back, and they had BP Plumbing. And it, the hat stuck up about that high. You know?
I mean, look at our last battle hat. I mean, that is such a prime example.
I love that hat.
But see,
way.
Like, that stuff has gone by the wayside, man. And then it's just trickled out. Travel sports have taken precedence over everything in everybody's life. When I was a kid growing up, we played at the ballpark on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays. My grandma and grandpa was there, aunts and uncles, cousins, your friends. You got there 2 hours before your game started because you ate dinner at the concession stand, and then we run and play in the creek and catch tadpoles, and we'd look up and be like, crap.
It sounds like our park.
Yeah, we'd be like, crap, we gotta go play. You know, we got a cup full of tadpoles. We pour them back in the creek, go play the game, and then that was it. You didn't think, like, well, Sundays was designated for church, and then after church, it was family time. Saturdays in the fall, everything revolved around Alabama
football.
That's that. Like Alabama played at 2. You get up, you feed the horses, you take care of everything around the house, get you a good shower, and then you're getting ready for football. But now it's like, you know, when I was a kid growing up, the baseball glove I used was an older cousin's of mine that was handed down. Nowadays, dude, you go to these travel ball tournaments, the kids are wearing $350 gloves. They got a bag full of bats. Dude, when we got to the thing, we'd pick up a bat and say, yeah, this feels right. And then the whole freaking team just, you know, you have old bat with a don't, or a daddy would take an old bat and fill it full of concrete. The kids be on deck, like, swinging it like this, you know, warming up. And then you get up there, and you play football season rolled around. When I played football down in the bayou, and they pulled this enclosed trailer up there, and everybody's standing in line. They get up there. They didn't ask, are you a running back, quarterback? Heck, I played quarterback and had a helmet with the old thing right coming right down the middle. It's just the only one that fit. You know what I'm saying? They put you a set of shoulder pads on. They'd say, lift your hands up. You know, you'd look but right there. They'd say, all right, yeah, you're
good.
Yeah, you're good. And then you just played, and then football season was over with, and then what sport come next? You know, you just basketball. I played at Friendship Baptist Church. Play on Saturday mornings, you know, whatever. Saturday mornings happen. That was it. And then you just go home and – you know, you didn't have to have constantly kids that have to have this and this and this. We had a sense of community. We'd go eat at Sam's Superburger, you know, get a milkshake and french fries. That's where we spend our money when we go out to eat. You know, you was just in your community, and it's completely lost. But things like this, you know.
And that's one thing that I've really been instilling, and I've learned a lot since becoming a business owner. I've been one for almost 3 months now. But just what I picked up from Monson, or even I've got a great coworker, Klutz. I never thought I would know a Klutz, but He's my right hand man. And like I was just sharing with him, like with just some of the, I was like, man, it's like every day, every week, it's just, it continues to present these brand new obstacles I didn't ask for, and I never in a million years could tell you like this was gonna happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, why is this happening to me right now? I don't want this.
Yeah.
But he's like, you have to think about it like this. He says, like, with every story, every trial, every tribulation, he's like, focus on the community.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on reform and what you're doing for the town. And he said, so what? You're a liquor salesman. Well, if it wasn't that, they got to go 30, 45 minutes that way, 30, 45 minutes that way, or go to a bootlegger.
Yeah.
He's like, dude. You got something cool.
Well, you seem like what that guy said when he left here a minute ago. What did he say?
He said, I wish you all the success.
Yeah. Oh, this is something. This is neat. I hope.
He's not even a drinker. He comes in and buys Busch NAs every Saturday, gets a 12-pack just to support here. And I keep those stock just for him.
Yeah. But you'll have his business forever. You know? And we're Grand Bay is starting to get that a little bit with our coffee shop now. Dude, there's so many people that come in that coffee shop. Did you ever think anybody pay $5 for? I remember when Waffle House went up to like $1.50 on their coffee.
I thought it was over.
Dude, my uncle and them threatened to kill everybody in Waffle House. When they got their check, they was like $1.50. You know, so
this ain't nothing but poop water.
$1.50. I gave the waitress a cigarette before I came in here. We gotta get a discount. But yeah, man, this is awesome. I think the series that you're doing, that's one of the coolest things I've done since I've been playing music. Like that's cool. I hope it, you know, continues and works out. And when the thing you were talking about doing the shows here, pencil me down. I would absolutely love to do it.
And just like friends from Birmingham or even Jackson or even like the Nashville area, when I'm telling them it's like we're gonna do Sunday shows, and they're like, I don't never make money on Sunday. And I was like, you will hear?
Yeah.
You will hear?
Yeah, because what the heck else is there to do in reform?
I was like, go to church in the morning and then come catch a show at house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a pencil me in. We're 100% in for it. I promise you. I'd come up here and do this anytime.
I can't wait, like, just to, like, we put on Facebook, I put the videos on the Al Spears Spirits and Music business page, and then I'll share it on Porch Talk and my personal. On Instagram, it's on the Porch Talk page. Then YouTube, it's got its own section.
Yeah.
And like we're tagging everything, the location, like, you know, we finally got everything online to where like you type in Al Spirits Music, we'll get you here.
Yeah.
And man, it's just the series, like just customers here in the neighboring town that come do business. music.
Yeah.
They come in here and get their spirits, but they're asking about music. Music.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love music? You might like different types of music, mm-hmm. but I ain't never met anybody that don't like music. And live music is, I mean, we love it. We don't get to do it as we do a little bit more now because our kids are older. But
yeah, and I mean, right here, you have to go 45 minutes in any direction mm-hmm. to get it.
Like, and just speaking from somebody, that's somebody from us, like a small town, just like you know you are, Columbus, even though it is a smaller town, like Grand Bay to downtown Mobile is kind of like, I probably like Reform to downtown Columbus. Like my whole life, I felt like I never fit in. Because it really, downtown Mobile and Grand Bay, Alabama, might as well be 1,000 miles apart.
Yes.
It's totally different people. Not that they're bad people and good
people. Theodore's right in the middle of it, and that place doesn't make sense.
No.
Right.
And so, like, but if I had somewhere in my hometown where I could go sit down and listen to, there's 25 people in Grand Bay, Alabama that was, every Sunday afternoon their life would revolve around coming to pay $20. Dude, I spend $20 on crappy food all the time.
And it comes with food. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you pay $20, I'm going to feed you, and you get a show.
And you get music. I think it's. I'm looking forward to it.
You know? I think that'll make a huge impact in your community.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're already chattering. Yeah. They are so ready for July 13th. Yeah. And I just hope the turnout, like, and I've already heard $20, and I was like, where else?
Yeah.
Where else could you?
But you're getting food. That
yeah. Night. So you're getting fed.
So $20 covers your food.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, my guy, you can go spend 10 at McDonald's and just rather get punched in the face. You know, it sounds. I'm all for it, brother. You got my support, and I'm gonna be sharing it like crazy.
Well, come on with it. Yeah. Anything else to add or subtract, man? Thank y'all so much for coming by. My little slice of paradise over here.
Very proud of you.
Yeah, the only thing I got to say, man, and I've said it before when we've done Porch Talk before, I'm happy for you, dude. I really am. I love you. I think you're a fantastic human being. I think you do things for people. The goodness of your heart. You've thrown me a bone with music. I love you, man. I'm happy for you. And we're gonna support you in any way we can.
Wow. And love y'all, dude. Yeah. I mean, I once upon a time I was a live oak for one show.
Yeah, yes sir. I remember that.
I played bass in
there. Yeah, you slapping the bass a little bit.
Slap that thing. Well, and a lot of great times. And I mean, I really needed that, like at that time in my life. And I mean, that's why I always kind of keep you in mind. You offered me something that I needed when I wasn't in the right mindset.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
And like that little stint, like, was enough for me to get back on my feet. It was you and Levi when I was going through that troubled time in my life, and I never thought I was going to come out of the other side of it, but I it's people like you, Levi, and music that really helped me get out of that tunnel.
Community.
I just needed somebody to love on me, and I needed to play music with people.
And you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. If you wouldn't have went forward.
Yeah, if you wouldn't have went through that, I don't know. None of this would have happened. So nothing worth having, and I firmly believe this, a marriage, children, nothing is worth having.
That's why I like Juco King so much. Like, I hate to interrupt you, but that is like, when I share your music, that's the first song I put them on, and I was like, Cam is a Juco King. I mean, it's your story in a song. And it's like, no, nothing really went as planned. Like, I was playing Juco ball, and life happened.
Yeah.
But here we are, and, I mean, look at this beautiful light. And, like, I love y'all's story.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I celebrate, and that's a song I can share with people that don't know you. And, like, this is my friend. This is his.
Yeah.
It's his words, and it's his life.
Yeah, I firmly believe that nothing that's worth having should ever come easy. And if, you know, nothing worthwhile should ever come easy. I'm not saying it should be so difficult it makes you just want to jump off a bridge or something, but you really won't find out who you truly are until you go through something difficult.
You don't know what you're made of.
You have no idea what you're made of. You have no idea, you know, where you really stand, you know, on certain principles and certain, you know, just certain areas of your life until you go through, i.e. difficult times, And I'm sure we could all sit here and go tit for tat. Well, this was difficult for me. I think it all happened. I thank you truly, and I've said this for the longest time. I'm like, when Alan moved back up there, he found his calling. And not many people get an opportunity for that. I finally feel like in my life, I tell her all the time, I'm like, I know God has a plan. I know God has a plan for me. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I do know that I love people and I love music. Whether or not it'll be, I don't know. I don't know, but I know God has, and he's putting people in my life mm-hmm. to send me in a certain direction. If I would maybe not fight and claw, you know. But, yeah, this is awesome, man.
I always thought about it like with the Abe Partridge. And this is when I interviewed Abe 5 years ago. And, if it wasn't for COVID, God only knows where Abe would be right now.
Yeah.
Like, COVID really derailed, like, his music but in his touring. But when it came to his art club, and I'm a member. And I've been a member since it started, and I'm not going anywhere because I support Abe. And I love Abe. He's a friend. And he told me, he's like, if I had 100 people who supported me with all they had, all I'd ever need.
Yeah.
He has that. Yep. It's in the art club. Like, it's a membership fee, and he has that. And, like, I know, like, I'm more privy for some. Like, when I call and Abe sees it's me, he answers. I mean, one, I'm in his art club. I mean, I'm kind of paying for the service.
Right.
But, but like, two, it's just like I'm seeing that in my own life, whether it's Porch Fest, with this podcast, with this business. And, like, I've upped the ante. I was like, I used to say 100 people. I was like, if I have 500 people behind me, I can do anything.
Yep.
And I will take the world by storm.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome, man. I'm happy for you, proud of you, and love you. So thank you for letting me be a part of it, Alan.
Dude. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your songs, and really appreciate y'all taking a little time on Saturday morning with me here at Al Spirits and Music. Thank y'all.
Appreciate you.
Two weeks out.
Baby, I swear to God that I'm trying. Slow me down and steady my heart. Lead me around, let's go too far. Spin me around or just take me out. Show me what this is all about. Growing old won't change a thing. Your heart's still stuck in childish ways. Lose someone you truly love. Baby, I swear that I'm trying. Baby, I swear to God that I'm trying. Slow me down and steady my heart. Lead me around, let's go too far. Spin me around or just take me out. Show me what this is all about. Baby, I swear that I'm trying. Baby, I swear to God that I'm trying. Slow me down and steady my heart. Lead me around, let's go too far. Spin me around or just take me out. Show me what this is all about. Juco king, a gut full of pride with a head full of steam.
All right, Alan, appreciate it, brother.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.